Well, let's see, Martin stepped out talking about coming only when I'm teaching. I'll tell you that I really need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to teach. Otherwise, nobody wants to hear my teaching, I can promise you. Well, as Father Phil said in the intro there, we are in the middle of a series about spiritual gifts. We talked last time about the comparison between our natural gifts, our gifts we might learn, or spiritual gifts. And we talked about how spiritual gifts and natural or learned gifts are very different. As a matter of fact, the definition that I'm using for spiritual gifts as we teach through this is that spiritual gifts come entirely and completely from God through the Holy Spirit to accomplish what no human could ever accomplish in the natural. We, in our efforts, our talents, our own gifts, have absolutely nothing to do with spiritual gifts. We're simply vessels through which God's gifts flow. These are the characteristics of spiritual gifts. They are short-term. They are very focused. They are directed at a specific situation or goal. They are always temporary, but they are always available. And they're always supernatural. In other words, they always do what is impossible to do without the Holy Spirit. Let me make another comparison for you of the difference between natural and learned gifts and spiritual gifts. When you were born with a gift or a talent, or when you learned some ability, or you improved upon a talent through training of some kind, that becomes part of you, doesn't it? You can use the talent and ability anytime you play the guitar. You can play the guitar anytime you want to. And you can do it for as long as you want to. You never forget how to ride a bike, right? These are natural things that we pick up. Spiritual gifts aren't like that. When the Holy Spirit wants something special done, He comes to you and He flows through you with spiritual gifts. And then when He's accomplished whatever He wants to accomplish, that gift leaves you, at least for the time. Now, I know that to me, that sounds unfair. It's called a gift, right? If you gave your kid a bicycle on Christmas Day and then took it back on New Year's Eve, you'd have trouble in the house, right? Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, when I was a kid, there were certain names we called people that gave you a gift and then later took it back. You know, if it's a gift, you ought to keep it, right? Well, let me give you an example of a gift that's temporary but is still very desirable, okay? This last Father's Day, my daughter gave me a gift of some chocolates, a few different kinds of chocolates. The gift certainly is not permanent because I'm going to eat the chocolates, right? Now, it's not permanent, but it's still a wonderful gift. Matter of fact, I still have just a few of the dark chocolate-covered espresso beans because I'm kind of rationing those out, you know, and I eat a little at a time. You know, you take a piece of Belgium, real Belgium chocolate, and put it in your mouth, and it just kind of melts in a unique way. There's just nothing like that, right? So my daughter gave me a temporary gift, but it was still a very valuable and oh-so-enjoyable gift, right? Well, that's kind of the way it is with spiritual gifts. They're temporary. They're just there to accomplish what they're supposed to, but they are very enjoyable. It's enjoyable at the time to be used that way. They accomplish their purpose, and then they're gone until the next time that the Lord wants to use us. Now, we looked at some scriptures on various kinds of gifts. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's look at another scripture about talents and gifts. And this is another one of those that kind of mixes up and talks about both natural talents, learned talents or gifts, and also talks about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, so we're going to start in verse 28. Again, I'm trying to make a distinction between our natural talents, our natural gifts, and spiritual gifts. And the Lord has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Some of these are spiritual gifts, like tongues, like working of miracles, but some of them are not spiritual gifts, like apostles. Now you say, well, that's a gift. Yep, he says right here, it's a gift to the church. Anointing is required, right? You got to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. You hope your apostle is anointed by the Holy Spirit anyway. And certainly, apostles need to operate in spiritual gifts in order to be effective. But let's look at some of the other characteristics of being an apostle. Is that a temporary gift? Are they an apostle sometime and not other times? No, man, I mean, they're an apostle all the time, right? Is the gift always doing what no man can do? No, I mean, apostles might have to sweep the floor, clean the toilets, write letters, answer the phone, you know, just natural things. Is it something that flows through them without their abilities being involved? Well, no, not necessarily. So you understand the difference? You can say the same thing about helps, about administrations. It talks about here. Those are all important. They're necessary gifts to the church. They definitely need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But they're not what I'm defining as a spiritual gift, okay? Let's look at some spiritual gifts. I promised you we'd look at some more today. We're going to look at some examples. Let's start off with spiritual gifts that are related to prayer, okay? And I think there are two kinds. Some might say they're the same thing. I think they're a little different. One is the gift of intercession, and the other is the gift of supplications. These gifts operate through us so that we pray more effectively. They're very important gifts for those of us that want to be prayer ministers. You want to be praying for someone, with someone. You really want this gift in operation as much as possible so that you can know you're really praying the will of God. You're praying the best possible prayer for them. Now, all intercessions, all supplications are not spiritual gifts. I mean, we all know how to pray, right? You know how to talk to God and present your petitions before Him. You know how to intercede on behalf of others. We have that ability. But when this happens as a spiritual gift, our own knowledge, our own mind really is bypassed in what happens. I'm going to give you some examples in a minute. Ephesians 6. Look at where Paul is talking about this gift of supplications. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, he's talking about our armor, spiritual warfare, and part of our spiritual warfare, he says, is with all prayer and supplication, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Now, some translations will say, instead of using the word supplication, we use the word petition. Because that's what a supplication is. It's a prayer of petition. It's presenting a specific request to God. So, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. When he's talking about praying in the Spirit with this prayer of petition or supplication, he's talking about a spiritual gift at operation. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2 and the first verse, Paul says, first of all then, I urge that entreaties and prayers and supplications and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Now, Paul, when he writes to Timothy, who's he writing to? He's writing to a pastor, right? And I think he's admonishing us pastors, we need to pray for our flock. And one of the things that I contend is we need to take the time, we need to be patient when we're praying for our parishioners. God will pray through us with this prayer of supplications. And sometimes you have to kind of wait on it. In other words, sometimes you start praying and it's not there right away because it comes from the Holy Spirit. You can't really control it. You don't know when. This happened the other day. A fellow called, needed prayer about something. He told me his situation. And I started praying for him over the phone with whatever I knew about what he told me. You know, it's kind of a standard prayer, God bless him, God provide for him, whatever it was. In a way, I was just kind of stalling, waiting for the Holy Spirit to show up and the gift of supplications to show up. Well, when it did, all of a sudden I found myself praying a very specific prayer for him. And then about a month later, I get this call from him. And the call starts off with, you remember that prayer you prayed for me last month? And unfortunately, the answer is no, I don't remember it because it didn't come out of my mind. It didn't come out of my thoughts. The only time it lighted in my mind was as it was passing through my mind to my lips as it was, you know, because it was coming from the Holy Spirit. And he said, that prayer that you prayed, it was answered exactly the way you prayed it. And then he goes on to explain how it was answered. Well, it wasn't me praying that. I didn't thunk it up, you know. It was this gift of supplications that was operating through me. So, pastors, when we're praying for our parish and our parishioners, let's give the Holy Spirit a chance and let him pray through us this way with this spiritual gift, this gift of supplications. By the way, you'll notice here that Paul says to do these prayers, entreaties, supplications with thanksgiving. I think that's very important to make sure that we're wrapping that thanksgiving, that we're praising God, that we're inviting the glory and the presence of God when we pray. Okay, the gift of intercession, Hebrews 7 and 25. Hebrews 7 and 25. The writer of Hebrews makes the statement that hence also he, Jesus, is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Romans 8:34 talks about how Jesus is interceding on our behalf. That's his full-time job now, is interceding for us. So if you start operating in this gift of intercession, you're in good company, right? Jeremiah 7:16. Jeremiah 7, verse 16 is talking about the work of an intercessor. As for you, do not pray for this people. Do not lift up or cry or pray for them. Do not intercede with me for them. In other words, God is saying, I don't want you to intercede for this people right now because I don't want to have to answer your prayer. I don't want to have to heal them quite yet. I don't want to have to do good things for them right now. Don't intercede for them. When we intercede for folks, God takes notice and God does things. God changes things. We need to be interceding, I think, for our nation. And sometimes when we intercede with our own English, you know, our own language, whatever that is. Sometimes when we intercede in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. That's okay. We ought to do both. It's all right. But for sure, we ought to put ourselves in a place where this gift of intercession can operate through us when the Lord wants. Debbie and I were at a small home group. Folks were gathered around sitting in couches and chairs, you know. And we were worshiping the Lord a little and praying a little bit. And then Debbie looks over at a lady across the room from her and said, did you know you're an intercessor? God's called you to be an intercessor. She goes, huh? What's that? And so I start describing. Well, an intercessor is a person that hears from the Lord. You may get a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, prophecy. You hear from the Lord about somebody or a situation, and then you pray for that. And all the people start going, yeah, yeah, that's her. She's always getting these pictures of people, and we don't even know that somebody's sick. And she'll say, I got a picture of so-and-so, and they're sick. And so then we can pray for them. And she said, yeah, but I don't like it. I don't know what it is, because a lot of times I get a picture of somebody, and then they get sick and die. And so I don't know if this is from God or from. And I said, well, hold it. You got to learn to operate in this gift. When the Lord begins to show you somebody or a situation like that, what he's doing is he's calling you to pray for them. And if he doesn't show you how to pray for them with your language, then you need to pray for them in the Spirit. And so she goes, oh, okay, I can do that. And, you know, and as a matter of fact, we hung around that area for a while, and she really did learn how to let this gift of intercession flow through her. And she, Lord, would pick somebody out and show her something about somebody, and she'd start praying for them, and God would do something. You know, God would do a miracle. The gift of intercession, Lamentations 2:14. Another book by Jeremiah here. Lamentations 2:14. God is saying, your prophets have seen for you false and foolish visions. They have not exposed your iniquity. They're not going to restore you from captivity. They've been false and misleading. And then it uses this word oracles here. They've been false and misleading oracles. Well, actually, the Hebrew word there is burdens. You see, an intercessor often feels the need to pray for someone as a burden, as a heavy weight on them. I think you've expressed that some, Patty, that you have felt this when the Lord begins to move through you with the gift of intercession. It's like a weight or a burden. I can remember my mother. She was a great intercessor. The Lord really used this gift through her a lot. She'd be standing at the sink washing dishes, and all of a sudden you'd hear her start praying. And I mean, it'd be loud. She might be wailing and crying and praying in the Spirit, maybe praying in English. And this would go on for anywhere from 30 seconds to 3 minutes, not long. And then when it was over with, she just abruptly stopped and wipe her eyes and go back to washing dishes, you know. And she would talk about that. She said, well, I just felt the burden to pray for somebody. And a lot of times when she calls it, Lord's giving me a burden for you. What's going on? You know, it was like, yeah, how did she know? Well, it was the Holy Spirit. It was this burden. And then when the burden lifted, she knew, well, God had accomplished whatever he wanted to do. And so that gift is gone. I'll wait for the next time. Now, she also operated in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, gift of healings, gift of miracles, all kinds of spiritual gifts. And remember, my contention is that all the spiritual gifts are available for all of us, and it's really up to the Holy Spirit to decide who and when gifts should operate through someone. But we should all be available for all of them to operate through us. There'll be some gifts that it'll be much easier for us to operate in, maybe like intercession. Turn to 1 Timothy 5:5. 1 Timothy 5:5. There's a long discourse here about handling widows in the church, those who are widows indeed. Paul makes an interesting observation here in verse 5. He says, now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers day and night. I think that intercession is a common gift for widows, if for no other reason than just the fact that they often have lots of time on their hands. They're available, just like my mother was, at moment's notice. She could drop whatever she was doing, quit watching TV or washing dishes or whatever it was, and go right into intercessory prayer. And most widows have lots of kids and grandkids to intercede on behalf of, so that, you know, they would like to be able to operate in that gift. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Paul lists 9 gifts there. Some have said that they thought these were the 9 spiritual gifts. I think they're just 9 of the several spiritual gifts that are available to us. Like I said, I believe they're available to all of us. You may operate in one more than another, but I'm going to give you some examples of each one of these gifts operating through me in my life. And I'm going to do it for a couple of reasons. One, I know the stories. I know that I was there, so I can tell you that the stories are true. But it also means that at one time or other, I have operated in every single one of these gifts. I'm not telling these stories to lift me up or to illustrate my greatness. On the contrary, when you operate in a spiritual gift, it's not really you doing it. You're just humbling yourself before God and allowing the Holy Spirit to move through you. So these aren't stories about what I did. These are stories about what the Holy Spirit did through me, through one of these gifts. And I'm no different than anybody else. I have no special pipeline to the throne room. Everybody can operate in spiritual gifts just as easily as anybody else. So, 1 Corinthians 12, let's see, let's start in verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. Get the idea, this is all from the Holy Spirit, right? To another the effecting of miracles, another prophecy, another distinguishing or discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So let's start with this first one here. What's the first gift he talks about? Word of wisdom. This is not about information. It's not about facts. It's not about events. It's about what you do with information or facts that you already have. I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, I'm a pilot, and I have operated in this gift many times as part of flying. I'm an instrument-rated pilot. That means I can fly in bad weather. But before I fly anywhere, I always start by checking the weather. And if the forecasts are not for really good weather, well, I check several sources. I make sure I find out what the weather is right now, what it's forecast to be en route, what it's forecast to be at the destination. That's all data, facts, information. But I still need wisdom and judgment to be able to decide, based on that data, what am I going to do? What route am I going to take? Am I going to fly or not? That's the wisdom part. And I've relied on this spiritual gift lots of times. I'll give you a couple of examples. Not too long ago, a hurricane came through the Charlotte area. Got all the way into Charlotte Inland. and another priest and I needed to fly to Selma, Georgia to visit with the bishop. And the day we were supposed to go, of course, the hurricane's coming through. And so it looks like there's just absolutely no way we can go. But I felt the Lord say, no, you can go. I've made a way for you. And so I plotted a course to make sure, based on what I could see from radar and such, to make sure that if we kind of got out there and if I hadn't heard from the Lord, we'd still be able to get back okay. Because one of the rules that I have is I don't fly in thunderstorms. If it's storming outside, any time it's storming outside, there's a thunderstorm where you are, you can look outside and say, well, if Father Dan is flying today, it's not here. I know that. Okay. So we take off, and there are a line of towering thunderstorms on our left, and there's a line of towering thunderstorms on our right, and we have a corridor that's about 50 miles wide that's clear in between those two lines of thunderstorms. And it was like that for about the first 150 miles of the trip. And then we got out of the area that was affected by the hurricane, and everything was clear sailing, and we were all right. You know, we were able to go. There have been other times where the forecasts look okay. There's no forecast of ice or anything like that. The Holy Spirit says, don't go. And I later find out that we'd have gotten into an icing situation. That's another thing I don't fly in, is ice, okay? You know, the kinds of airplanes I fly don't carry ice well at all. Right, Deacon Mac? That's right. There was a time that we had decided we were going to fly a group of folks down to Veracruz, Mexico for a short-term mission. And we started putting everything together and getting the plans made. It was just one of those things where it just wasn't coming together right. You know, that's the facts. We're supposed to go and the details aren't coming together right. And so what's the wisdom? How do I know what to do? Well, I began to seek the Lord, and I felt like through word of wisdom, the Lord said, don't go right now. And so we said, okay. Now, this was a week before we were supposed to go down there. And I mean, they'd been making big plans, advertising and stuff. Just call down there, tell them, we're not coming. Ugh, they're so disappointed. They're a little bit angry with us, you know. 2 weeks later, I got the report on why we didn't go. At the Sunday evening service, a service we were supposed to hold in this church, armed rebels broke into that church, started shooting up the place with their assault rifles, killed some people, wounded some others. I promise you, had we been there, they would have either killed or kidnapped us gringos. Well, only the Holy Spirit knew. Word of wisdom. Very important. I can't tell you how many times God has saved my bacon because I wasn't wise enough to know what to do, but He was. Okay, what's the next gift we have here? Word of knowledge. Okay, so word of knowledge is about the facts, the data, the information, right? I've heard preachers say, well, you know, this gift here of word of knowledge is for folks to go to school, to go to university and learn and be able to study and to be able to gain lots of knowledge. No, that's not what this is at all. This is a spiritual gift, okay? This is not about how smart you are. I've watched people operate through this gift that didn't have any idea of what they were talking about, but the Holy Spirit did. It was accurate. When Debbie told that lady at the home group, did you know you're an intercessor? She was operating in that gift. It was word of knowledge. The Lord had spoken to her. She's an intercessor. See, she just shared that. I suspect that some of you could give testimony of this gift operating through either me or Debbie when we prayed for you here. And I've told you something that was going to happen or some fact or truth, and you later on discovered, yep, that's true. Remember one time we were in a church praying for folks, and a college-age girl came up to us and asked us to pray for her. Well, what do you want us to pray about? Oh, I don't know. Everything's going okay. I guess just more of God or something. I don't know. Okay, we'll pray for you. We start praying for her. Again, you know, kind of standard prayers, hoping that the Holy Spirit will show up and give us something better to do. And sure enough, the Holy Spirit did. And He gave me the word abandoned. And so I told her, I said, well, I got this word abandoned. And I don't have any context. I don't know anything except this one word. You talk about a word of knowledge. This was it, a word, okay. But when I said that word abandoned to her, the Holy Spirit. You know how it is when the Holy Spirit just kind of opens your eyes and you see things that you didn't see before. And that was the way it was with her. And she starts crying. She starts boo-hooing and crying. Her parents had recently moved away. They'd gone out west to pastor a church. They'd left on good terms. She was happy for them with this new opportunity. She didn't realize that when they left, that she had taken that as sort of like a child as being abandoned. She was hurting over that, but wasn't dealing with it. But when the Lord said that one word to her, all of a sudden He illuminates this. She starts dealing with it. The Holy Spirit starts speaking to her about what's going on in her life. She's able to come to grips with those feelings. She's able to deal with the feelings so she can move on and get rid of them. And she was okay. One of the other places that word of knowledge is a great help around the house is in finding things. And this is also a great way to teach children about how the gifts of the Spirit or spiritual gifts operate. Because when you lose something, you gather all the kids. Okay, let's pray that the Lord will show us where it is. Now I'm going to tell you, He deals with lost things another way too, but I'll cover that next time, okay? Let's ask the Lord to show us where this is. One night this happened at our house. We had somehow lost the vegetable peeler. You know, that's this magic tool that you use to take skin off of potatoes and cucumbers. And I can't clean a cucumber without a vegetable peeler, right? Well, we lost ours. It was kind of late at night before we realized it. So we prayed, nothing happened. Go to bed. When I wake up the next morning, the very first thought that comes into my mind is, the vegetable peeler is in the kitchen trash. Now, we don't normally throw away vegetable peelers, right? But I realized this is a word of knowledge from the Lord. This is finally the answer to the prayer we prayed 8 hours ago or whatever it was. And get up, go down, and sure enough, dig about halfway down through the trash, and there it is. Well, the night before, I don't think it was like the Lord wasn't telling us that. He was probably trying to operate through us with that spiritual gift. We were just too tired, too distracted to be able to do it. Sometimes that happens. We're the human vessels, you know, and if we get in the way, well, then these things don't work exactly the way we would like for them to. Anyway, we were finally able to find it, but it took that word of knowledge. Well, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count the number of times that's happened, probably in just the last few years, not to count all the other times that that's happened in our household. I know that doesn't sound very spiritual, right? I'm trying to give you an idea. God cares. God wants to be involved. He wants to operate through us with these gifts as much as we'll give Him a chance to do. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Read the rest of the gifts, and hopefully we'll actually get through lots more stories about all the rest of these next time.